Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Long time no talk, but there's actually not a thousand calls in the queue, so it takes the time to do this. So I was listening to a Circa call earlier, and I just wanted to give you some tips. I don't do the new Circa, but I did Circa the last time it was here before you started working here, and I know that you're going to be dealing with a lot of unhappy customers because they're not just waiting for their TV or furniture to get there. They're waiting for their air conditioner to be fixed or their leaking water to be fixed. So they're always going to be pretty uptight if stuff doesn't go perfectly. I've seen it in the old Circa where, a lady sat for all day in a 95-degree house waiting on an air conditioner, a repair that wasn't coming. So with Circa, you're going to have to give the customers a lot more bad news. And when you give them that bad news, you got to try to sound sympathetic. Like that lady that wanted to speak to a manager earlier, when you told her, when she was like, "So is it not going to come?" And you told, I think it might be a nervous habit that you have. Do you kind of giggle when you get nervous when you're talking?
Oh, yeah.
Because like you were like, "Maybe it'll come," and you sounded amused about her plight. That's what the customer is going to hear. It's like, "Oh, she thinks it's funny that I'm sitting here waiting." And so they're immediately going to be escalated. So this is not like going to be an official document here. I'm going to email about this just for your reminder. But you really have to work on tone of voice. You don't want to sound monotone. You want to sound, pleasant, but concerned, sympathetic, because you're basically a voice actor. Because you don't know these people, so you don't really care about them. But that's why I can usually keep the customer calm, is because even though they go through a bad situation, my tone of voice is, "Well, let's see what we can do to get this, taken care of for you." It's not even overly sympathetic as it is like confident that you can get this solved. But just I would just really advise like try to get that under control, the giggle stuff, because that will escalate a customer every time. Like, have you ever been really upset and somebody laughed at you about it? I have little brothers, so coming up, if they made me cry, they would think it was funny, and that made it so much worse. So just the human nature of if they're in a state of distress, they don't know what's going on, they've been waiting all day in a house with a broken air conditioner, then they're not going to be in a good mood. So it's really best to try to sound sympathetic, and it's going to be a skill you're going to have to work on, because I mean, in my normal speaking voice, I'm fairly monotone. But when I'm on the line with the customer, you don't want to be overly friendly. You know what I mean? You don't want to sound super jazzed, but you just want to sound concerned and like you're listening to them. And let's see what we can get done about this. Give me just a second to look into this for you. Like instead of and when like for what you were telling the lady earlier. Well, ma'am, it's still en route for today. I will definitely reach out and have somebody reach out to you with an updated ETA. There should be a way with Circa where you can get an ETA request put through. Winford, do you have a cell phone number?
I messaged him on Teams.
Here, I mean, you want his cell phone number because he's not always going to be on Teams, but he's always up. Circa is his baby, so he takes it very seriously. That's his campaign. You know what I mean? So that's his shot at the big leagues, basically. So he once he I used to, before I was ever a lead, I did Circa under Winford, and anytime there was something major going on, if he wasn't there, you call his cell phone. You can literally, let the customer know I'm reaching out to my supervisor in regards to this, and call Winford. Put him on a mute, call Winford, let him know the situation, and Winford will tell you how to handle it. Because he knows this program back and white. Excuse me, front to back. Excuse me. So I just wanted to, I'll send an email just reminding that the real thing that I want to see you work on with these customers is your tone of voice. Now there was the issue on Saturday where you had a hold, you had a customer on hold for like an hour. Cheryl had sent me an email about it. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. You're welcome to come back to the office. Are you wanting to come back in office so that you have more support that's right there? Because all the leads are back, except for me, because my husband's going through chemo, but that's temporary.
See, I'm not currently in the area right at the second.
Yeah.
Because I have school and stuff.
Right.
And I have night classes.
So it's going to come to the point, though, where because I have to document your attendance again for last week. I already had to document it for the week before. It's like if you're getting under a 90 in attendance, we have to write you up about it. And then this one will be the verbal. And after the verbal, the next step is to have to come back in office. So I don't want it to come to that. I know that you can do this. Like it's, I know new campaigns can be stressful, but with Circa, that's why Winfrey wants you to have a cell phone. That way, if he's on break or something like that, you don't have to worry. You can ask him. And Cheryl is usually also a good resource if Winfrey isn't around for Circa. So that's just my advice on that, because I used to do Circa too. And it's one of the least pleasant campaigns because people are dealing with serious situations. Homeowners are dealing with not being able to live in their home right now because it's 90 degrees in the house. So I guess that's all I can ramble about that. But then I pulled your stats and your average handle time for last week. And this isn't coming from Circa because your AHT for Circa is 9 minutes. So when I pulled your average handle time across all campaigns, it was 11 minutes, which is the highest AHT I've ever seen. So I still have to do more research to see what's causing that, but just know that, you know, they pay attention to these sort of things, and that's, you probably feel like you have a lot of eyes on you right now. It's because that type of AHT is pretty much unheard of. Do you know what might be leading to it? Are you taking a lot of Department of Labor calls? Because that doesn't seem, because you're working evening time now, and those kind of die off in the evening.
Take those. I haven't taken one of those in a while, like a week or so.
Well, just remember, since you're working in the evening, most of the hubs, and except for like the Mountain and West Coast hubs, by the time you get in, they're already going to be closed. So calling hubs for Marietta is not really going to be any good use of your time, unless it's like Salt Lake City, California, you know, something in Mountain or Pacific time, because they don't close until about 4 or 2, but shift starts at about 12 Pacific time. So
the only calls I get are the Marietta and the Circa.
Yeah, I mean, CLM, just take note, I don't know if you saw the update in Teams, about half of the hubs are in CLM now. So you're going to want to search both systems. Like if you can't find that number in DMS, don't automatically start searching for a different criteria in DMS. Go ahead and switch to CLM and search it there. And just remember, you've got to take out all the hyphens and parentheses, or else it won't pull up. And when you're clearing for install for Samsung and CLM, that I kind of like it, because say you talk to somebody, their order's not scheduled yet or ready to be scheduled, but their email's not on the order. You can add the email and then put your notes right there under work order initiated, added email per customer's request, and then you've already noted that order. You don't have to go back and add another note in CLM. But you do have to notate everything you do in there. Are there any other questions while I'm here that you have about CLM? Do you know how to add a Holloway?
No.
Let me show you how to do that real quick. It's not that hard at all. You just have to know where to look. And this system, honestly, once we get it to where all the hubs are coming out of it, it's going to be awesome, because it moves so much more quickly than DMS. We'll still do lows out of DMS. And if you ever get TechLine, we'll do that out of DMS as well. But say this customer here needed a Holloway, you would go to services. And you see Holloway's added here. I can show you where they did it, though. You go add service group, and then click where it says browse CSG, and then Holloway. Select that, and then here's where you add the quantity. And you just note customer so-and-so. You just do that, and customer so-and-so requires Holloway. Bam. And you can put the quantity there. And then it'll save it to the order.
The,
it's much easier. it's once you get used to it, it's going to be amazingly easier. So history is, see, a lot of this history is messed up because a lot of these tickets were basically manually created and put over into CLM. So we don't have good dates yet as to when these items actually hit our system. But a history is a good way when you get customers that are wanting to know where their product is. I think history is going to be the easiest way to see where they're located as far as once, I'm not saying this correctly. So say we get a customer who places an order on June the 7th and they call us on the 17th and they're like, where is my stuff? We'll be able to see here in history that it hit our system on June the 7th and go from there. Trying to see. See, that's going to be your new deposco right here. Update work schedule, work order scheduling status, change scheduling status from not ready to schedule to ready to schedule. So if you see that, that's like seeing deposco on an order in DMS. But it should say ready to schedule right there. So, and then we're still not processing claims as far as I know. We can cancel. What you would do to cancel an order is you would click cancel work order, notate why it's being canceled and who said so, and you hit save. And then it'll ask you, are you sure you want to do this? Because you can't undo this. And you'll hit yes, and then you'll just use the same template to send an email to the hub advising of the cancellation. But if it's routed in on a truck, then you'll just use the same email template for routed and onboard orders. And then same goes for a pickup order. You'll just cancel it, notate there. But the cool thing is you notating that why you're canceling it, that's your notes. So you don't have to worry about going back in here and then being like, customer called to cancel order because it'll already have a note here from where you actually canceled it. So it's a lot more
Okay.
user-friendly. And then say you get a customer who has a bad phone number. You go to advanced search. This is where you can search by their reference number can be searched there. You can search by the email on the order. I usually will still do zip code and last name. And then from there, like, let's just say. So from there, you can see the client. Where was it? Well, it's got all this crap in front of it now. Okay, let me just. Okay, so you can see the client here. So if you've got a customer calling, there's only going to be so many orders in the zip code, especially in the brand new system. So if you have a customer calling, search that zip code, and then if they're calling from Serta, you know, oh, it's got to be one of these two, right? And then you can right click and open in a new tab so you can keep this screen and still have the order opened over here. So you can say, well, can you verify the name and address on the order? If it's not him, you know, then go back to the other one and you can open a new tab. And then as far as this sheet is used, I don't see that you've got the spreadsheet open. I'm not going to worry about that spreadsheet too much, but I will talk to them about getting you access to it because they want you to update that spreadsheet anytime you make a change to an order, like a reschedule. If you're just updating emails and stuff, no worries. But if you're changing the status of the order, they want an update on that spreadsheet.
Which spreadsheet?
Let me see if I can get you a good link to it. I've got to get out of here. Oh man, it's been a while. Let me my goodness. There it is. So this one, it's going to send a text message to your phone. Did you get an actual CLM login or are you using Jay's old login?
Still using the other one.
Okay. It's going to be Jay's pretty much until they decide they want to give us some new ones. That might make you log in. I don't know. Maybe not. So what you would do is put your name here, whether you spoke to the customer, client, or both. Just put NA there. You're rarely going to find anything in DMS. So the first one is for the sales order number. The sales order number is this one right here. So you'll copy that, paste that there. Second one, what's the work order number right here?
Mine's not moving.
Oh, I'm on my own screen probably. Idiots. All right. Okay, let's try this again. Okay, you've already. Can I close this? You can get back to it, yeah. Okay, you have your own. Okay, nope. I'll say it's get all the things back. So anyway, the reason I don't want to scroll all the way to the top, you see we're 1600 rows down. But let's scroll all the way to the top so you see what I'm talking about. And I would bring down your resolution on this just a little bit. I don't know if you're using a really tiny screen or something. Oh my God, it's taking forever to get all the way. Okay, so your name, who'd you speak to, customer, client. DMS job number is not really going to be a thing so much anymore. Sales order, work order, customer name, customer phone, the market, or the hub, or what have you, and then notes from DMS. I don't really mess with this because my notes tell you what action was taken. So, but it's only if there's a change made to the order, if you're canceling it or if you are scheduling it, basically, that you would update it there. Or if there's issues on the order. And so that's the final thing. It's weird with escalations. You're really going to want to handle as much as you can in email, but say you get someone with a damage claim. So we'll use this as an example. So you would go to issues and then add an issue. And then issue type is going to be consumer feedback because it's coming from the customer, right? So then there's where you get your categories, just like an escalation. But here's the kicker. Only 250 character limit. So I had a customer the other day that had damage to his property, damage to the unit, and also I had a complaint about the carriers themselves. So I had to put three separate issues because I only had 250 characters for the notes. So just FYI, you might have to put them in each if you get a customer with multiple problems. So that's how you would put the issue on the order. And then that'll be good because Marietta Home Office will then follow up on those issues pretty quickly. So, do you feel better about CLM?
A little bit. It'll just take getting used
Yeah.
to.
Advanced search does take a little bit of time, but that zip code, especially because these hubs won't have a whole bunch of, right now, it's not going to have a whole bunch of old orders in it. Just make sure you can have it to where you can view the account because that's where you're going to help it. Let me check if you can even do this here. Yeah, you can still use Control F and, you know, search information that way so you can search that customer zip code and be like, what's the street name? Caney Gas, you know, and then it'll take you to the order. So that's what you do if the phone number is all messed up because, and that's pretty much it. And something I've found that's saving time is instead of copying and pasting the number from 59, I'm just typing it in because that takes less time than pasting it and then having to go through and remove the hyphens and the parentheses and just typing the phone number.
Yeah, I figured that out earlier. Now I
So
still leave in like parentheses.
did you go over the write-up from last week and sign it?
I believe so. Was it in my
Here.
emails also?
Well, you have to actually log into the disciplinary system.
I know I had an email, and I was
So,
tagged in it. Well, not tagged in, I was CC'd.
right. But what I'm saying is you have to, when you get a notification that there's a write-up, you have to go into the disciplinary system. Under normal circumstances, I would have already gone over it with you, but I could not catch you here when I was here last week. And I also have my own issues. I had to work on days that I don't normally work. I had to pick my husband up for a hematology appointment that we found out about 2 days ahead of time. So it was due to the pattern of absenteeism as well as a steady decline in production stats over the past few weeks. And when I say that, when you first started out, your AHT looks good, your you know, we were working on your QA, but your AHT has climbed dramatically. Like, I'm trying to get to my own stuff in just a moment. But the biggest thing is that the attendance, like your attendance, basically the attendance for the week of the 11th through the 17th was 38.64%. Last week was 46.4%. This week it's 45.63%. So, like, that's why I have to write you up. Like, my bosses are telling me if it's under 90% on either QA or attendance, that is a write-up. Because basically they are getting ready to have people start moving back in, and the only way to keep your position secured at home is going to be to have QA and attendance above 90%. So, I mean, if you need to cut down hours further, you know what I mean? Do what you got to do to keep those numbers right, because I can tell you from personal experience, I used to work a seasonal job while I went to school in St. Louis, but it was market research on farm stuff, so it was only after the harvesting season that you could do this work. And when I tried to file for unemployment, I let them know that I was a student, and because I was a student, I didn't qualify for unemployment. So, if you do ADOL, that's one of the first questions they ask, is if you're currently in school. That's an automatically disqualification.
I was confused when I got my schedule changed, because he said, or he or she, they said if you do under 30 hours.
Yeah, you will lose your benefits if you do under 30 hours.
But I did exactly 30 hours. Right,
but what they're saying is your average for the month has to be at least 30 hours, or it does not qualify you for benefits. Basically, that's how the insurance company does it. They will charge ASK more for the benefits if it's not for full-time work. So they can't keep you on the benefits if you're not averaging at least 30 hours a week. So
I have 30 hours a week. That's what I went down to instead of 40.
Right. So if you miss those, if you miss any of those hours, then at the end of the month, you're not going to average 30 hours a week. But I don't know if you can talk to them about changing them to days that are more suitable, but I mean, I know everybody's going through a lot right now. Well, it's hard to be here. I don't know one person who has been touched by a death lately, and I know it's rough, and I know it's hard being isolated, but I mean, coming in might be great for you, because you'd have Winford right there most of the time to ask if you're having any issues with Circo. You'd have Odell and Cheryl there to help you with any issues with Marietta, because you know how to do this. But definitely talking on the phone for a living is a skill that's acquired and learned over time, just by experience. But I have definitely found if you put some sympathy in your voice, put a little sugar on it, but you don't want to sound overly cheerful, because they're pissed. And I don't know if you've ever been really mad and then had somebody be totally happy and unfazed by how mad you are and how infuriating that can be. And I know that's not what you're meaning to do. It's just how it comes off of, because I've kind of picked it up from listening to you as a nervous habit that when you get nervous, you giggle. So you want to watch out doing that, because that's what pissed off that lady earlier from Circa. Like, I could hear her just complete tone of voice change when you giggle. She's like, oh, so she thinks this is a joke. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for that disciplinary, you can put any comments that you want to, that you want management to see in regards to it. That's another reason why I encourage you to go ahead and look into it, because you have this section right here for you. You can let them know while I was going through this, this, and this when this happened. So, and then, go ahead and sign, because it was supposed to be signed a while ago, but I also know that we've been slammed. We're still kind of slammed, but not like this is back to normal volume right now.
I wonder what happened. It went from 1,000 callbacks to like 50.
Well, a bunch of, there was a computer glitch where Samsung orders that didn't need to get scheduling calls were getting scheduling calls, like stuff that had been refused as damaged that was sitting at the warehouse waiting to go back. Customers were getting calls to schedule those. So that was part of it. Secondly, all these stuff that people have been waiting for their states to reopen for them to feel safe to schedule happened right after Memorial Day, which is another big sales holiday that we get busy afterwards. So So it kind of all just slammed together. And then on top of that, H is not coming to work. Like, we're literally having, at the worst of it, like a 12 to 14 average of agents not coming to work. Any agent can take any, depending on your campaign, can take anywhere from, you know, 60 to 100 calls in a shift. So if you times that times 14, that's part of the reason the volume was so high, is because there's 14 people that are supposed to be there taking calls that aren't logged in. So when you're not at work, it's pushing the volume off on everyone else. So if everybody comes to work, then we have enough people to cover the volume. So it's weird because it's not like fast food where you know that if you leave, man, it's going to be messed up for everybody because there's no one to work the station. Or there's, you know, when it's a physical, like, in-person job, it's a lot harder to ignore the effect that you not being there has on it. But when you can just log off, it's easier to get frustrated and be like, you know what, I just can't deal with this right now. And then you log off. So I've seen it. Trust me, you're not the only agent with this issue. But we, at least because there's so many call-outs, we have to document it and write it up, because the only thing they want to see out of the agents as far as this is concerned is improved attendance and improved QA. But I can tell you, you'll have a lot less escalation if you work on that nervous habit and just practice sounding sympathetic, even if you don't feel sorry for them. You want them to think that you do. It's not a customer's always right kind of thing, but it's like a, we're going to try our best to keep them calm and get their issues sorted out. Because I've had customers call me with the most angry situations, and because of my tone of voice and just making them feel listened to, even though they were still mad, they were still thanking me at the end of the call for helping them look into it. You know what I mean? So it really does matter. Like, yeah, smile when you dial, but more so just try to put some thought into how you're coming off. Like, you do not want to be monotone. You don't want to sound uninterested, because that's what's going to make customers be mean to you, basically. So, any questions for me?
Could you repeat that for me? It went out toward the end. I think my Wi-Fi just messed it up.
I was just saying, do you have any questions for me?
Oh, no, I'm good.
All right.
I just need the assistance.
Yeah, I mean, that CLM, it's going to be a lot easier once all the hubs are moved into it, and they're doing it pretty quickly. So once you know that all you have to do is search CLM, you don't have to check DMS for it anymore, that'll make it faster and easier. And once you use CLM, you'll just get used to just the interface and using it after you've clicked around it and done a few things. It's like, a lot of that we weren't trained on. A lot of that you just kind of had to figure out when you ran into the situation. So I do have to put in a verbal for the attendance from last week, but if you can keep it above a 90 from here on, we should be good. After a verbal, then it's like a come to the office type meeting if it gets brought up to an actual write-up.
Right.
So
okay,
I just,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You take care.
You too.
All right, bye.